Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 1. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vyas Uvacha Iti Samprashna Samprishto Vipranam Brahmaharshani Pratipuja Vachastesham Pravaktum Upachakrame. Ugrashrava, Sutta Goswami, the son of Brahmaharshana, being fully satisfied by the perfect questions of the Brahmanas, thanked them and thus attempted to reply. The sages of Naimasharanya asked Sutta Goswami 6 questions, and so he's answering them one by one. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Taksurun Mulitam Yena Kasmai Si Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from the Bhakti Center. They had their the Sringadev kind of celebration, festival of the divine protector, and just very well organized. It was nice. I was happy to attend. Okay, I'm continuing this inspiration I have, that whatever I've really spoken on or studied or prepared during the week, that I would share with you on Sunday. Up in Stuyvesant Falls, every other Thursday, they have the Bhagavatam class at Krishna Kumari's at 6 o'clock. And, you know, there's between 10 and 15 people, and they're reading the Bhagavatam beforehand. So I spoke the last few days, a few times, twice, and this is the last thing I spoke on. So, of course, Vyas is explaining this to Sukadev, and he's telling the story, and just to put it in context, the sages are Trikala Gya. They see past, present, and future. And especially they can see the future because the ages, like the seasons, are cyclical. So they see the winter is coming. And the mark of a sage and what makes one a sage is their compassion and their sacrifice, that they're willing to undergo to help others. Look at the sacrifice that Prabhupada made. And, you know, that was the sacrifice he made, coming to America alone, suffering all those heart attacks. What a story. But it's compassion that drives any person in this world. Jiva Doi Krishna Nam Sarva Dharma Sar, that the essence of all religion is compassion. Sarva Dharma Sar, all religion, the Sar, the cream, Jiva Doi, compassion. Jiva Doi Krishna Nam, by giving the holy name, the Sankirtan mission, which is the most effective way to purify one's heart, and the most compassionate thing one can do for another one is enlighten them, because all suffering is due to ignorance. Due to ignorance, we do things wrong and then we suffer. So there's no greater compassion than enlightenment. Tulair Doshe Nidhe Rajan Eko Asti Mahagunan Kirtanahiva Krishnasya Mukta Sangam Param Vajet, that the ocean is, Kali Yuga is an ocean of falls, is one good quality. You can enlighten people by giving them the holy name. So this enlightenment, this compassionate enlightenment, is an interesting proposition, because you have to be a little bit like a doctor. Your compassion is not just giving medicine. Your compassion is giving the correct medicine according to the patient's frame of reference, the correct medicine. And therefore, a charge is individually and collectively try to find the right medicine. So the sages of Naimisharanya, seeing the influences that are coming, and they're predicted. I mean, it's Shastra. Look what's happening in the world. It's predicted. You can read in the, I think, the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam will predict what this world will be like. So they're seeing that. They're seeing that. And they're figuring out what to select, what to do. So they're performing sacrifice. They pick the best place to empower them for this type of mission of counteracting the influence of Kali Yuga. And then the acharya comes, Suta Goswami, the one who is actually qualified to select. I think the term acharya for teacher means one who does select, has that realization. And they ask him six questions that all deal with this question of select. And they have already an idea what it is, but they need confirmation and they need elaboration. So the first question they ask is, what is the absolute and ultimate good? The absolute and ultimate good. And this has to do with selection, because they're seeing people in Kali Yuga will not have the qualification for any type of gradual process, which is a progressive step through the modes. So they need to get to the point, and they need a process to get people to the point. And then that's bhakti, because the process is simple. The application may be difficult, but at least the process is simple. It doesn't require elevation in modes. It doesn't require solitude. It doesn't require celibacy. It doesn't require caste. It doesn't require gender. So it's simple, but the application is difficult because you have to want to do it, which is surrender to God. You can do it. So it's simple. Anyone can do it. You can do it right now, even in ourselves. We can perfect our life right now by just saying, from this day, Krishna, I am yours. And then being determined to live that way by surrendering to Guru and Krishna. We can do that now. But is that possible? Can we do it? Do we have the strength of character? So people need the absolute. The second question is, Buri Burini Karmani, there are many, 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 many works in the Shastra. So many things, so confusing. Again, the pharmacy has so many medicines, but how does that help you unless you have someone to negotiate between your condition and the pharmacy, which is called a doctor or pharmacist, or the combination of two? So the Vedas are so vast, they're useless for us. It's like fixing some complicated machine and there's a manual. But if you're technologically challenged, it doesn't mean anything what the manual is. If you don't have the language, you don't have the quality. So that's the Vedas. We are shastrically and modally, I just made up a word that means in the modes, shastrically and modally challenged. And then they get more to the point. Third question. What is the purpose Krishna appeared? Because this is confusing. Ajopi san abhyatma bhutanam ishropisam prakritim swa adishtaya sambhava. Well, you are unborn and your transcendental body never deteriorates. You appear in every millennium, birth after birth. So what purpose did Krishna appear? Clear out this doubt so we can go further. And then let us hear about the Purusha avatars, how God manifests in this world, for this world. Then the fifth question, let us hear about the Leela avatars. And then finally, the last question, now that Krishna has left with knowledge and religion, where will those things presently be resided? So basically, they have a hint about something about Krishna and the Bhagavatam as the panacea, but they need it to be much more clear. So now when Sutta Goswami hears these questions, Samrishta, he's perfectly satisfied by the questions. Because they're samprashna. Prashna is questions. They're complete questions. Just think of all the nonsense things that someone can ask you and you can ask someone else. And there are good questions that get to the point. And there are questions that reflect the highest sincerity. Sanatana Goswami, when he met Lord Chaitanya, I don't know who I was. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know who I am. You know, real questions. What is the duty of a man who's about to die? Questions that really have significance. Questions whose answers impact the life of you and others. So there is a gradation in qualifications of questions. Iti samprashna vipranam. Vipranam, and these questions, they're perfect because vipranam, they're asked by qualified people who are sincere. And prati puja. Puja means worship, but puja also means thanks, gratitude, prati, after thanking them. Prabhupada in the fifth canto, when Narada Muni is asking Lord Brahma, Narada Muni is looking at Lord Brahma and seeing how incredibly powerful it is. It's this engineer that engineers the construction of the universe and its movement according to the law of karma. How is that for an engineering feat? You assemble the blueprint. You assemble the blueprint for the universe. Or from the blueprint of the universe, you assemble the universe. It's just inconceivable. Imagine if you met Lord Brahma. What power! Narada Muni says, I think you're God. But then I have one doubt that you're performing sacrifice, and that means that when you perform sacrifice of austerities, you're doing that to attain something that is deficient in you. So he said, so how can you be God? So who is God? And Lord Brahma was so happy. Your question is great. What a wonderful question. Prabhupada said this type of gratitude is the foundational missionary principle. If you have a mission to spread Krishna consciousness, then the fundamental principle is you are grateful for the people who inquire that allow you to share what you know, because then not only are they hearing for their benefit, but they've engaged you in devotional service. So he's satisfied by these questions, and after thanking them, then he replies. Srila Sutta Goswami said, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the great sage Sukadeva Goswami, who can enter the hearts of all. When he went away to take up the renounced order of life, sannyas, leaving home without undergoing reformation by the sacred thread or the ceremonies observed by the higher caste, his father Vyasadeva, fearing separation from him, cried out, O my son, indeed only the trees, which are absorbed in the same feelings of separation, echoed in response to the aggrieved father. So now, before he's going to answer the questions, he's going to qualify himself to answer the questions, or by the fundamental principle of gratitude, of prayer. Because ultimate knowledge is a revelation that is given to one by God. It's a revelation. Ultimate knowledge is a revelation. It's not an analysis. Our analysis only goes so far. we don't have the scope for analysis anymore. And I give this example because I like it. A young child, girl, 5 or 7, you can't explain to her what romance is. It's not within their frame of reference. We can't put God under a microscope. An ant on the body of an elephant trying to analyze. It's just a different dimension. What to speak that the absolute truth is a person. And this is a theme that I repeat again and again. You can only understand another person by mercy. They have to give themselves to you. You can never understand a person by analysis or force. You can only understand a person by relationship. So God is being. He's supreme being. The Dami Buddhi Yogam Tvam, he has to give you that understanding. Lost my train of thought here. I'll just continue. He's going to offer prayers. Every significant spiritual book should have a Mangala Charan, which means invoking auspiciousness by offering one's obeisances to God, the Vaishnavas, and the Guru. So love has to be given, and love has to be appreciated to be understood. So you talk to time in terms of appreciated. Love is not appreciated if one feels entitlement. It doesn't matter what one gets. They will not feel the reality of love coming from the heart of another person. And we see that, and we're so disappointed in the world when people don't understand our love, don't appreciate how much we gave them, because of a defect in themselves or a defect in ourselves that we cannot understand and we cannot appreciate. So often we get covered from gratitude to our parents, to our teachers, to our friends. So you can't understand the absolute truth unless it is given to you and you are receptive for it. So by prayer, you're expressing your need for that mercy and you're opening your heart to receive it. So first he offers his obeisances to his guru, by whom which he got that information directly. And he describes his guru. Okay, Rati, very well. Yeah. You want to listen to class for a while? Okay. And then the dishes are still there. Look, so whistle from all that service. So he got it directly from his guru, so he's going to offer his respects. And that respect, that humility, also puts one in the perspective where one can feel and receive God's mercy, because it's covered by ego. Radhanath Swami gave a nice example yesterday in his class. It's like iron in a magnet. Either the magnet or the iron is covered by dust. You don't feel the power. So in the same sense, if our heart's covered by ego, we don't feel the power of God's love. If our eyes are covered by a cloud, we don't feel the power of the sun. So and I'm looking for the word, who can enter the hearts of all. I want to see the word for that. Oh. Yes, Sarvabhuta. Hridayam, of all living hearts. You can enter into all living entities' hearts. What enters into your heart, it's a relevant message that expresses devotion and love. And then, when he went away to take the renounced order of life, he left home, no sacred thread, ceremonies observed. So he left. So he's saying he's still qualified. Even though he left home, and didn't undergo the reformatory processes, he already achieved the goal of them, so they weren't necessary. In other words, let's say there's a ladder to get up to the top of something and you're a child. You want to get up to the top, you have to go to the ladder. But if your father picks you up and places you up there, you don't need the ladder. He's already received. Or if you're flying in an airplane, then you don't need the stop signs. In other words, if you achieve the goal, then legitimately, then the legitimate means to get there, if you've taken another route, you know, like you got up on the top floor. Now you can't be on the top floor. You didn't walk up the steps. That would be foolish because you're on the top floor. Well, how do you get there? You took the elevator. So this is such a key point in our philosophy, that what is the position of one who surrenders to Guru and Krishna? It's the culmination of everything, because all the workings of all the Vedic system, as Prabhupada even called it, the Vedic adventure, it's all focused on the heart to change our consciousness. That's the purpose. To give up the false ego, the conception of superiority, develop the real ego, Vaikuntha Vijaya, that God is supreme, he's conquering, he's above, he's worthy of love and devotion. So it's so much in our tradition that we don't want people to become confused. Because people become confused. You're not a Brahmin. You're not this. You haven't done this. You haven't done this, etc. Well, I'm here. And it means a lot. Aho bhatas svapta chatogriyan yajivha grave hartatam namatubhyam. One who has the holy name, aho bhatas svapta. Jiva Agre Jiva, one name on the tongue. Wow, what a qualification. Of all the Vedas, I am to be known. So this point is there. He's qualified. And he's so qualified that when he leaves to the forest, his father, Vyasadeva, is feeling separation from him. And so are the trees. So that's the perfection of ahimsa, which is the foundation of spiritual life. To perfect ahimsa or nonviolence, you have to be free from material desires and possessiveness. And if you're not, you're going to be implicated to some degree or other, macro or micro, in some form of violence. But ahimsa and any of the yams in the Yoga Sutras, to actually perfect them, turned it on about like 78. No, no, not that. Just press the button. Yeah. What's on? So therefore, the trees were feeling as consciousness, and the echo of the trees was their separation. Now he says, let me offer my respectful obeisance unto him, Sukha, the spiritual master of all the sages, the son of Vyasadeva, who out of his great compassion for those gross materialists who struggle to cross over the darkest regions of material existence, Ati Tatir Shatam Tama Andam, desiring to cross over the dark, deep material existence, out of compassion for those gross materials who struggle to cover over the darkest regions of material existence, spoke this most confidential supplement to the cream of Vedic knowledge after having personally assimilated it by experience. So he heard it, he thought about it, he applied it, he realized it. That's the kind of person you want to hear it from. And that was Sutta Goswami's realization. He went, when he heard Yata Yadi Yata Didam, when Sukadeva Goswami, when Sutta Goswami said that, I'll give you this knowledge, I heard it and I realized it, the sages of Namasharanya were extremely enthusiastic to hear from him. This person has realized he's seen truth, and only someone who's seen truth can communicate truth. And the truth shall set you free. That's it. So, out of the gross materialists who struggle to cross over the darkest regions of ignorance. So it's a struggle. And I read this one thing that was very interesting, where it was the prayers in the story of Akura, where it described the insurmountable ocean of material existence. And why was it insurmountable? Because, well, first of all, it must be insurmountable because we keep on doing the same things that have caused us suffering life after life. We can look even at our own life now. How many things that we are attached to, whether it's eating or Facebook or whatever, how many things which we are attached to are causes of our suffering, and yet we cannot give them up? Pleasure is the happiness of a madman, and happiness is the pleasure of a sage. Happiness is the consciousness, not the contact to objects for exploitation. But yet we continue to do it life after life after life. So it seems insurmountable. Therefore, we pray samsara davan, nalalita loka, tanaya karunyaga, spiritual masters like the rain cloud. Or Bhava Maha Devagni Nirvapana, chanting the holy name, destroys the ocean, the forest fire of material existence. And it's compared to a forest fire for two reasons. No one knows who caused it, and no one knows how to stop it. It only by mercy. Therefore, the spiritual master, the Supreme Lord, describe a rain cloud, and the material life is described like a ocean of material meshes. And to conquer that is so difficult, but it says out of compassion, he spoke this most confidential supplement to the cream of Vedic knowledge after having personally assimilated it by experience. He's talking about the Bhagavatam, because what is the Bhagavatam? He's concerned with how people in the Kali Yuga, the Asadeva, will cross the ocean of material existence. And it's a supplement to the Vedic knowledge. It's a supplement to the Vedic knowledge because we know the history of the Bhagavatam, that the Danta Sutra is codifying the Vedas for people to understand. And the Bhagavatam is the commentary on that. So it's the supplement of the cream of Vedic knowledge. After having personally experienced it, assimilated by experience, and that's how he understood the Bhagavatam. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranayate male apashat purusham purna maya chitara patsayam. Bhakti yogena manasi. He engages his mind in devotional service, probably chanting Hare Krishna, remembering the holy name. Samyak pranayate, without distraction. So he's speaking further his qualifications. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jaya mudaye. This is a verse that used to be chanted before reciters of the Bhagavatam. Says, before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest. This previous verse was talking about conquest. How can you conquer? Again and again. It's for people who are struggling. The other example is the ocean of material existence. It's very vast. It's very difficult to cross. But here, before reciting this Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisance to the personality of God in Narayan, unto Nara Narayan Rishi. Nara Narayan Rishi is the one who explained it to Narada, who explained it to Vyas. He's the superhuman, most human being, of the Mother Goddess Saraswati. Mother Saraswati, I believe, heard it from Narada, and unto Vyasadeva, the author himself. And then, Munaya Sadhu Prishto Hum, Vadir Loka Mangalam, Yakrita Krishna Samprasna, Genatma Suprasudati. Excuse me. Munaya sadhu prishtaham. Your question is sadhu. It's good. It's relevant. Because bhavadvir loka mangalam, because it creates auspiciousness in the world. And what is auspiciousness? Shreyakarayava chandvikaranam. It's the result of the heart being purified. Shreya Kairaja Chandrikarana, like a white lotus, opens up Chandrika, the moon. The moon is like the holy name. The analogy is there. The white lotus opens up. The lotus representing auspiciousness. So our heart opens up with true devotional feelings. And that's our goal. Our goal is not just to put on tilak, which is nice and is an item that's favorable. But the goal is that actually we become purified, and that legitimate taste for bhakti flows from our hearts. And he says, if I've been justly questioned by you, because they relate to Krishna, so they're of relevance to the world's welfare. because this is auspicious, something that can attract. Again, that magnet example can attract the best out of your hearts. And that's what's auspicious. What's auspicious is where your heart is. That's what's auspicious. Not where your position is. Not where your birth is. What's auspicious is where your heart is. And therefore, in the previous purport, I think the second verse, Prabhupada quoted the verse, Kiratna hu. It doesn't matter where you're born. It matters what's coming out of your mouth. And only questions of this sort are completely capable of purifying the self. And if you ever read Prabhupada's purport, if you have time today, read it on text 5. He just talks about everything is based on questions and answering. Everything. Dialogue is questions and answering. You want to be in Wall Street, make money, you have to question and answer. You want to be in academia, you have to question and answer. You want to get physically fit, you have to question and answer. You have to ask people, they have to inquire. So this is the basic principle of the dissemination of knowledge. It's questions. Therefore, it said that the audience is more important than the speaker, because without the speaker, there's still an audience. Without an audience, there's no speaker. So that's what's auspicious. So he says, these questions are great. They're worthy because they relate to Lord Krishna, and therefore they are of relevance to the world's welfare. That's why Prabhupada wanted his books distributed, because they're relevant to the world's welfare. They can bring someone to the right inquiry. Anyway, I'm going to stop now. It's always rough after a festival. Are there any questions or comments?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Bo Gail.
Yeah, you were describing the fact that we are insanely attached to pleasures that don't bring us happiness.
Yeah.
And the solution, and we're basically helpless against that. You know, it's an ocean. And so the solution to counteract that is, you know, in your answer, it sounds like you're saying the Bhagavatam. It sounds like you're saying the chanting, you know, hearing the Bhagavatam, well, you know.
Yeah, well, the message of the Bhagavatam is to chant Hare Krishna. So you can't make a distinction between the holy name, the Bhagavatam, and the great devotees. Nasta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevya. What is inauspicious in the heart becomes almost destroyed to nil by nitya bhagavata, by serving the Bhagavata. And Prabhupada said Bhagavata can mean the book Bhagavata or the person Bhagavata. Because the person Bhagavata is always serving the book Bhagavata, and the book Bhagavata is by the person Bhagavata. So there's no real difference. So the message of the Bhagavatam is the holy name.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The connection with the sadhu is the holy name. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then one other thing is when you were saying that, you know, if you get to the ultimate goal, then there's no need to any longer perform the preliminary steps that get you to that goal, because you're at the top level already. So when we hear, whether in the Gita or wherever else, that a person who has attained Krishna, for example, they it is to be understood that they have completed all of these different processes and so on. So does that mean that attaining the ultimate goal is the moral equivalent, or is it literal?
What do you mean moral equivalent?
Moral equivalent meaning, have I actually, you know, for a person who has attained the ultimate goal, have they literally gone through those?
Let's say this. If you read Jiva Dharma, we study Jiva Dharma, and there's something very, very auspicious of coming to the point of surrendering to God. So Prabhupada said that a Vaishnava is better than a Goswami for that reason, because Vaishnava means surrender to God. But if one's not surrendered to God, Prabhupada said, it doesn't mean he's still better than a Brahmin. So,
I'm sorry,
whether we're going to take it...
Can you repeat that, please? Can you repeat that?
Prabhupada said that a Vaishnava is better than a Brahmin. But then he also said, if we're not following, it doesn't mean we're still better than a Brahmin.
Right.
If you actually surrendered, you're better than a Brahmin. So, in terms of the verse, in terms of hermeneutics, it has some meaning. Some direct meaning is there. I have to understand to what extent, you know, that's true. But definitely there's some meaning to there. That everything in spiritual life is based on changing the heart. And coming to the point we are ready to surrender to Guru and Krishna is no small thing. But you have to do it.
Mm-hmm. And as you said, we can actually say that right now, that Krishna, I am yours. And when we say that with the intention to do what we need to get there, we can consider ourselves surrendered, even though we may not be, perfect or, you know, completely purified, but we can consider ourselves...
Yeah, it says it says that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that one who actually surrenders to Krishna, Krishna accepts that person fully as non-different from himself. Not in opulence, but in relationship. He accepts them in the same category as himself. But that's not an easy thing. And
but
when someone does that, even if they're not completely purified, they very soon will be. So therefore, they get the credit of the objective. And I remember Ridhayanand Maharaj gave an example of someone jumping off a building,
mm-hmm.
and initially he jumps up, but no one says that he's going up. They all say he's falling, even if he's temporarily moving up, because they see the gravity and the force. So one who actually does that, it's such an exalted position to actually fully surrender. Even if they have attachments and personality quirks, and even if they occasionally fall down, api shetsu dharachara bhajate mam ananyava, and I've experienced that in my life by watching different people as I've grown up in Krishna consciousness, you know, how exalted that is, even if at the time I have conflict with them, or I don't like them, or I see motive in them. But if I see that one thing, that they've actually given their life, that's a very exalted thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great, Maharaj. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Gail. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Tota Gopinath here. Thank you so much for the class.
Great. We'll see you next weekend. So, thank you so much. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Good morning.
Good morning. Greetings from New York. Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. This is Vajranga.
Hi, Hare Bo. So many people from Jersey are so steady. Anybody else? You know, and also these classes, a lot of people, I guess. Who's
Hare
that?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. This is
Kishori
Rana.
Priya? Okay, I wanted to hear Priya. There are people listening around the world. They want to know who is Priya, who is Gail, because they hear them, you know. So it's nice. Okay. Anybody else before I go?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. This is Nanda Dula.
Oh, Nanda Dula, you didn't have to say your name, just the sweet Bengali accent with sweetness
you,
on every Maharaj. Syllable. I knew it was you. Okay. Hi, Bo. Anybody else?
Hi, this is Kaylee Kadamba.
Oh, Kaylee Kadamba. You know, I'll call you later. If you're free this afternoon, you can visit me, but you may not be. I'll call you right after the class, okay? And we'll see when you can come. Okay, I have to go now. Hare Krishna. Vanchakopa Jivya Sat.